You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As the baby boomer generation retires, organisations will need to cope with decreased labour supply and a loss of valuable skill sets. In light of this, a study was conducted exploring how and why it is important to keep these workers engaged in the workplace. To find out more, I spoke to the lead author of the study, Professor Tim Bentley, and began by asking what prompted this study.
We were aware that the ageing workforce was something that organisations weren't fully geared up to cope with, and we were quite surprised. We did some work with the Equal Opportunities Trust and found that basically organisations weren't preparing for different aspects of the future of work, and one important part of that was this demographic shift as baby boomers retired en masse, and there weren't enough skills going to be coming into the workforce. So populations within certain industries in particular were going to shrink, you know, the working population. There was going to be a battle for skills, and we needed to do more to retain older workers because of their experience and skills and their value in terms of, you know, being able to mentor and train up new staff. So we became aware of that, and then we decided that, you know, we'd do some more detailed research on it.
How was the study conducted?
We did a questionnaire survey of about 1,200 workers over 55 years of age, and they were asked a number of questions related to their experience of work, their experience of things like age bias, their enjoyment of work, whether they intended to stay in work, whether they intended to leave the organisation they were in, and so on. And then we were able to do the sort of statistical modelling and find out which factors most predicted whether they were likely to stay engaged and retained in the workforce.
And which factors were these?
Well, the most important thing seems to be flexibility. So older workers, like other parts of the workforce, seem to value flexibility over and above almost anything else. In fact, it was the number one thing when we asked them to just describe in their own words what the most important things for them to keep them engaged in work. Flexibility was the number one thing, by far outweighing anything else, closely followed by their personal health. And then whether the organisation was willing to redesign their jobs in those cases where they were doing a lot of heavy work or night shifts or a lot of work that required sustained concentration over a period of time. Because as you age, you want more flexibility often, just like some younger people in the workforce, because you might have caring responsibilities, because you want to take part more in the community, and because you feel more like perhaps working part-time or working more from home to balance your work and life sort of arrangements better.
So that was one of the four recommendations which your study did suggest. And how do you see it being implemented? Were there any discrepancies across sectors? Do you think there'll be any particular industries which will struggle to implement flexible work?
Well, I think I've done quite a lot of other work on flexible working, and one thing's for sure, it's a growing trend in New Zealand, just like it is elsewhere. And from quite a slow start, now more and more organisations are picking up on the idea that offering flexible working conditions is a real win-win. And particularly when we're talking about flexible work, we're talking about the ability of people to work from home, to work remotely, to vary their work hours, to work part-time, that sort of thing. To have greater flexibility in both the hours they work and where they work. Now, that not everyone can do that, of course, but traditionally we find that most people, particularly those doing knowledge work, can do that. So that's a large part of the population.
The second recommendation that you looked at was training for managers and recruitment staff in recognising age bias. What kind of training do you think would be effective, and what do age biases look like?
We found relatively low levels, low to moderate levels of age bias. So mostly it's a sort of unconscious bias and stereotypes also about older workers. So it tends to look like the things you might typically hear. Older workers find it hard to learn new things. They're not very adaptable. They're not, you know, they're not as committed in their work. They're thinking about retirement and so on. Our study found some quite different things to that. They're actually more engaged with work. The 60 years and over sort of bracket of, you know, when people are approaching retirement, they're actually had higher engagement scores than younger workers. Their ability becomes really important in a more volatile, more changing work environment. We're chasing talent, basically, because there's shortages in skills. So retaining these older people, rather than saying they're on the scrap heap when they get to a certain age, some magical number clicks around, actually the reality is we need them to stay in the organisation, and we need to make sure they are here for long enough to pass on their skills, but also to keep the wheels of industry turning until there's enough people in the workforce to replace them. And we're a long way from that. So that's what it looked like. But we found even small amounts of age discrimination led to much greater desire to leave the organisation, less commitment and less engagement which tells me that even, you know, just targeting that one thing can make a more difference almost than anything. You know, offering flexibility, being flexible as an organisation and saying we realise that work isn't the same thing for everyone. People have to balance their work and their other commitments and their family life, their home life. And as we age, we may want more flexibility. That's easy enough, and we should be doing that for all our employees anyway. The second thing is the managing age discrimination by giving some training to staff, particularly managers, and by getting managers to model having respect and treating appropriately the older workers in the workforce, not sort of discriminating on them because of age. They shouldn't be missing out on promotion and other things as if that's a wasted investment. It isn't. We can't say that anymore.
Did your study find any intersection between age discrimination and a gender or ethnicity effect as well?
Not really, no. We didn't notice any particular...
Was that not something you were investigating?
We didn't. We weren't looking for that. We were more just looking across the board at practices that organisations use to retain older workers and the older workers' sort of perceptions of how effective they were. Yeah.
The third recommendation you looked at was the championing of positive attitudes towards older workers by senior management. So this is a bit of, I guess, culture change. Yeah. When you've got these people at the top, how do you feel that change coming in an effective way without changing senior management?
Well, I think they will change. Their attitudes will change as they realise, and the realisation is dropping now, that they're going to have to keep hold and persuade and find ways to encourage the older workers in amongst their working population to stay in their job, because there's going to be a lack of skills, and you can't just replace that skills, that knowledge and experience with new staff who don't have this. And even if you could get sufficient numbers, so in certain industries, I mean utilities, engineering and so on, for instance, that are dominated by older males, they're now starting to diversify, taking in younger people, females as well and so on. Same in other industries like aged care and that sort of health and so on. We're much too reliant on a certain population demographic, and we need to look towards more diversity. And managers need to lead by, like any other form of diversity and in terms of getting good culture, need to lead by example, need to show respect and recognise the efforts of older workers, because other people will model that. But also, because the older workers themselves respond well to that. So it's like a reciprocity. If they see that they're valued and the organisation cares and values for their work performance, they'll respond with commitment and, you know, engagement with the organisation. And that's what our study found when we did the modelling, that actually in response to this greater recognition and respect, older workers report that they're more engaged, they're more likely to stay with the organisation.
Out of curiosity as well, the older workers you interviewed, were they usually not in senior management positions? Are these kind of working similar roles as younger individuals, and they felt that they were not receiving the same recognition as they should be?
We did look across the board, so we had people from all levels as well as a whole range of sectors. So we had people with a small number in senior management. We had quite a few middle managers and supervisors. And we had, you know, obviously a lot of people in the general non-managerial roles. So quite a cross-section, yeah.
So it was, these trends were viewed across the board, regardless of management position.
Yeah. I think older workers feel pretty much the same across the board, that they wanted the same things. They experienced, obviously more bias was experienced perhaps further down in those sort of supervisory and non-managerial roles as opposed to senior roles. But regardless, everyone wanted the same thing, and that was to be treated respectfully, to be given flexibility, to experience good working conditions. And the people that were doing the actual hard work on the coalface, they do need some consideration of the design of their job. So as you age, it gets harder to do jobs like heavy lifting work for long periods, or working rotating shifts or night work, or doing work where you're having to concentrate on a screen for a long time and so on. They need more rest from that, but on the other hand, you can create roles for them where they're doing some of that, they're doing some mentoring, they're doing some sort of maintenance and so on. There's various ways you can make a whole job so it's more sustainable for older workers. So, yeah.
Can we talk a little bit around that mentoring idea? So the fourth recommendation was introducing mentoring programs between older and younger workers.
Yeah.
How do you see this benefiting younger workers as well as older workers?
I see it benefiting a lot. I mean, when a person walks out of the organisation, they don't just take their body and their labour, they take their skills and knowledge, the tacit knowledge, and all those things that mount up over the many years of experience. And ideally, we want them to stay perhaps in some sort of graduated retirement so they can gradually retire rather than just walking out one day and pass on these skills through mentoring to younger people that can shadow them or work alongside them or work in their team and learn these things that it's very hard to actually write down and teach in that way. Most people often in many industries work most effectively by doing through their experience, and working alongside an experienced older worker can be very beneficial. But it's, I mean, the mentoring is always two-way, though. You know, there's always an opportunity for older workers to learn, be that around technology or some other aspect, a new way of thinking about a problem and so on, from younger workers. And I think that the real benefit is that we look at that as a two-way learning experience.
Hmm. What are the next steps for you? Are there any particular things you want to look into further now that you've completed this study?
I'm interested in those things that affect workers' mental health and psychological well-being. So we're doing a lot of focus around that, not just older workers, but across the workforce. So that's sort of been the focus of my work. We use New Zealand Workplace Barometer for that. So, you know, we include older workers in that. So one of the next things I want to do is look at how older workers' experience of their work environment is and how that affects their outcomes around mental health and things they do for the organisation, like, you know, their engagement and their productivity.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.